Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. The Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. Let me say that again. The Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. So says G.K. Chesterton, one of the great preachers and writers of the Anglican tradition in the last century. He died in 1936. He wrote in the first part of the 1900s. Today's gospel lesson is a perfect example of that truth. It's not that people tried living the way Jesus said. It's that it was found too hard, and so nobody tries. Today we get the continuation of Luke's version of what is sometimes called the Sermon on the Mount, as we find it in Matthew. Here it's sometimes referred to as the Sermon on the Plain or the Sermon on the Level Place. We're told that Jesus was on a level place when he did this. And we listen and nod, but let me remind you of what we nodded to. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Are the yabbits going in your head yet? We're very quick to rationalize why we can't really live like that. It's just not practical in this world. We just can't function that way, can we? How does that work? It's a nice idea, but it just doesn't seem realistic as a way to live. So how are we to listen to this teaching from Jesus and take it seriously? How do we actually put these words to work? Well, I think part of how that's so important comes in the next verses when he said this: if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those that do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. We are called to be different, substantially different, truly different. I think probably the most depressing condemnation of the church today is not that we have divisions and infighting, or that we bicker about this or that point of doctrine or carpet color or whatever it might be. The greatest condemnation of the church today is that statistically, members of the church cheat on their income taxes, cheat on their spouses, get divorced, on down the list, at about the same rates as the general population. It should not be so. We are called to be different, markedly different, notably different. We should be so different that when people look at us, they wonder what's up with them. That was the reputation that the church had in its earliest days. In fact, it was common to mock the church by saying, look at those Christians, how they love each other. They're soft, they're weak. We are to look different than the rest of the world. We're not to be like everyone else. And what's intended here, what Jesus is giving us, is not the rules for how we are to behave, but the roadmap for how we become different people. It is a roadmap for transformation. It is not just a new set of rules. It is how the human heart is changed into the ever greater likeness of God. See, the change doesn't come by magic. You know, every once in a while, I'll get this software update on my phone. And I'll agree to install the software update, and suddenly, boom, it starts functioning differently. Stuff changes. Things look different, they're in different places and whatever. And sometimes we sort of wish God would do that with us. Just, you know, if we're supposed to be different, just download a software update, boom, we behave differently. The human heart doesn't work like that. The human heart requires that we work with God, under His guidance, under His umbrella, to bring about the changes that He desires to see and bring in our lives. It's trite and trivial, but there's an old saying that floats around, fake it till you make it. It seems silly, but let me tell you, there is some real truth to it. If you don't feel like you can be loving, fake it till you make it. You may not get all the way there right away, but the path to the transformation that God calls us to is to actually begin to make different choices, to begin to decide differently, to actually act differently. That's the beginning of that path. And He gives us in these verses a picture, a little snippet of what that might look like. It's not comfortable. It's not easy. It's countercultural. In fact, it's often even counter to our own instincts. But that's what needs to change, isn't it? Love your enemies. Well, I guess first we should recognize that means there may be those out there who will oppose us, who will stand up to us, who will fight against what we are trying to accomplish as the body of Christ, as the people of God witnessing to His love out in the world around us. There may be folks like that. But love, agape love, doesn't mean being soft. It doesn't mean always feeling warm and fuzzy. It means devoting ourselves to the best for the other. Devoting ourselves to what the other needs. It does mean that we have to guard our own hearts. It does mean that we have to take that honest look within and ask ourselves, are we drifting? Are we drifting into hatefulness? Have we shifted from wanting to see change in another to wanting to see them crushed or punished or harmed in some way? Has that change started to take root in us? Jesus calls us to love even our enemies because He knows that it is love and the act of loving that actually transforms our hearts. It's not that it transforms the other person's heart, although it may help. If you really want to build love within yourself, don't look for somebody to love you. Choose to love somebody else. That's what begins that process of change within us. It means that we pursue what is good and helpful for all. What is right, what is just, what is fair. It means that we don't just pursue winning. We don't just pursue crushing. We don't just pursue our personal vindication. We have to let go of our pride and all that stuff so that we can actually love. And like I said a few minutes ago, in the moments when that seems hard, I have actually two suggestions for you. One is pray for that person. And I don't mean pray that a log drops on their head. I mean pray that good comes to them. Maybe the prayer will be that they will see the light. Maybe the prayer will be that they will come to faith in God and turn to Him. That's a good and legitimate prayer. And then, fake it till you make it. We don't wait until I feel loving in order to be commanded to love. Jesus didn't say, try to get yourself to a place where you feel warm about your enemy and then you can be loving to your enemy. No, you start with love your enemy. Now, the next one is even harder because it carries it a step further. It says, do good to those who hate you. It's taking love to that next step. That step of actually acting out on it. Taking real action. It doesn't mean pretending that everything is okay. It doesn't mean pretending that sin doesn't matter. It doesn't mean pretending that there has not been wrong in the relationship. It may be holding another to account for what they have done. I could go on forever about examples of that, but sometimes the loving thing, sometimes the good for another person is to hold them accountable to what is good and right and just. It may be difficult, but it means more than just praying. It means more than just trying to guard your heart from hateful or vengeful thoughts. Now, of course, the difficult thing is I can't tell you what that's going to look like. That is highly situational. Depends on the nature of the relationship you have with the person, on the specifics of what's going on. There's so many factors. So I don't presume to tell you that it's easy to figure out what it means in every situation to do good to those who hate you or to love your enemies. It can be very difficult to figure that out. It can take a lot of time in prayer. It can take a lot of time talking with trusted Christian friends and others who may be helpful to you in trying to sort that out. But whatever it looks like, the commitment is to do it. And you know what? You might look crazy. Your friends might think you're nuts. Your kids might tell you you've gone off the deep end. Why are you letting so-and-so walk all over you? Right? We've all heard those kinds of things. You might look nuts. But I promise you this, it's pleasing to God, and it begins that process of transformation within us. And the next verses continue to flesh out what that might look like, offering the other cheek when you're struck on one cheek. If somebody takes your coat because they have some need for it, let them have your shirt as well. If somebody comes and takes from you, don't stand on your pride and your possessions and your ownership and demand it back, even though the values of the world say that's what you must do. In the name of love, sometimes we need to let it go. Now, that's not to say that there aren't times when the loving thing to do is to hold a person accountable. Sometimes that really is the loving thing to do. And sometimes that's riskier. Sometimes that means risking family relationships. Sometimes that means risking comfortable friendships. Sometimes that means being looked at as the crazy one. It's not always easy. There is no promise here that this is easy. The promise is that this is the path that will form us evermore in the image of God. It's the path that will bring about that change that God seeks to accomplish within us. Now, my temptation as a preacher is to build a safety valve into this sermon. So if it gets a little too tough, you know, kind of take the edge off. Oh, you don't really have to do this with that person. I'm not going to give you the easy out on this one. Jesus didn't give you the easy out. Luke didn't give you the easy out. I'm not going to give you the easy out either. I don't think Jesus wanted it to be easy. I think he knew it was hard. I think he intended it to be hard. Because in the end, what Jesus wants is not for it to be easy. In the end, what Jesus wants is to transform your heart and your life and your mind. And then through you, to transform the lives of those who are around you. And to give them the opportunity to see that there really is something different. There really is another possibility, another way to live that is transformative and life-changing. It's a hard battle. It's a hard war to fight within us. And sometimes even with those who are around us. But it's the only path that takes us into the place of being formed evermore in the likeness of God. That we begin to take on the heart of Jesus and begin to see others through his eyes. Are you ready for that battle? Amen.